Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read those verses in just a few moments. But first, would you pray with me? O Creator God, it is indeed my prayer and our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here in this place might be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody loves a good story. Before children go to bed at night, many of them will beg to first have a story. All across the country, old men still gather together in donut shops every morning of the week and share stories. Millions of people flock to the movie theaters year after year to be lost in somebody else's story for at least a couple of hours. I've traveled the world, South America, Central America, Middle East, China, and it turns out that though we're all so very different, we're all quite the same. In homes across the globe, I found myself gathered around a family's table, and there heard folks get together in order to share and tell stories. It seems to be this universal human language, this language of story. In fact, it seems that we were all uniquely created to connect in a special way with stories. Across the globe, spanning all of time, stories, they've always had the power to inspire us and at times to break us, the power to unify us and at times even to divide us. Stories have always held within them the power to change things, to change how we see ourselves, how we see our world, even to change how we see our God. Something within us, deep within us, was made to connect to stories. And I think it's for a good reason. I think it's because we're all part of this one big story, this one big God story. We all share in common this story that tells us who we are and where we've come from and where we're going. We all share this story that tells us what all this craziness is for. All these things that seem so random, so unrelated, why they matter, what they're here for. And this summer, we're going to hear the story from beginning to end. Just the high points, because we don't have forever. But beginning to end, this story of God and humankind intricately connected together. We're going to see how it started, where we are, where it goes, and how we fit into it all. Throughout the summer, we're going to be learning how to read Scripture as the one big story that it actually is. If you happen to be newer to church, or if you're at least somewhat new to studying Scripture, you will relate to the fact that sometimes when you pick up this book right here, it can just be really confusing and really frustrating. It can sometimes seem like we just have dozens of these random, unrelated stories, and we just kind of tend to pick one at large on a Sunday morning to learn something from. We can wonder, you know, what in the world is all of this doing in one book? One week we'll turn the pages and see Jesus healing a blind man. And then the next week we see David taking down Goliath. And then we've got Paul escaping from prison. Then this guy Daniel in a den of hungry lions. And we wonder, you know, what's the point? How do all of these things come together in one story that I actually fit into? Some of us will open our Bibles any given morning for a 5-10 minute devotion and just randomly choose a chapter and a verse to read. And then we'll close the book and think, well, my goodness, what in the world was that for? Wondering how it relates to the world that I'm living today. How did these words change anything about who I am and where I am and where I'm going? The story. What is it? Where do I fit in, and what does it matter? That's what we'll be exploring this summer. And so if you'll stick with us all the way through August, I guarantee you that you're going to hear an incredible story. It's a nail-biter at times. You might think you know the ending, but it's come anyway. And as we hear the story, we're going to determine with every turn, how do we continue to play a part in it, actively, not passively. So this morning, we're going to jump right in and get started. And we will start at the very beginning, because I hear it's a very good place to start. Genesis chapter 1. I won't sing because that would ruin the story. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth and of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I've given you every plant yielding seed that's upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. It's a mouthful, and it should be, because it's the story of how it all began. It's the story, first and foremost, of a very unique creator. You see, from the very opening pages, the very opening words of Genesis, we are not left to wonder for a moment who the initiator of our story is, besides God. God, and only God. Notice those first five verses. It is God. God created. God swept over. God said. God saw. God separated. And God called. God was busy. It was all God. There's only one responsible for all of this, and that one is God. Though God is, and though God has always been, existing outside of time and space as we know it, there was a time that that God decided and chose to create. There was actually this real moment in history that the eternal God, who had only ever shared life within himself, within the people of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Spirit together, this God decided to share the life and love that he had known within himself outside of himself. It's incredible. He chose to create the heavens and the earth, the land and the sea, the plants and the animals, the men and the women. God, he willed creation into being, not because he needed creation to be God. He was already God without it. But he willed creation into being because he wanted creation to share in the joys of life and love that up to this point only God had experienced within himself. You keeping up with me? Genesis 1 is a lot of theology. This is kind of heady. We can do it, though, because it's important. God created not because he needed to, but because he wanted to share that life and love he had always only had within himself, outside of himself, with the whole universe as we know it. And as God creates, there's this unique pattern in what he does. First and foremost, he works within time. Each movement says there was evening and there was morning. It's interesting. Seems a little bit backwards, doesn't it? There was evening and there was morning. And it's named that way for a reason. Because I think that the author of Genesis is trying to say that we serve a God who is actually doing much of his creative work at night. And this creation just kind of awakes to see what's new as the sun rises with each new day. It's a very strong statement in the very beginning about our God, that our God wills and works even when no one is around to watch him or to help him. Our God, he is sovereign over all, speaking, breathing, moving forth with the purposes of life, whether anyone notices it or not. He just keeps moving, oftentimes in the dark. If you wonder where he is this day, take heart, my friends. Our God is at work, whether we notice it or not. And so as the psalmist says in Psalm 46, we have permission to simply be still and to know that he is God. He is the one who works in the dark so creation might marvel in the light, seeing what God and God alone has done again. And again, there was evening and there was morning. This repeats 6 times in Genesis 1, as does this command, God said, let there be, and the execution of that command, and it was so. We have a God who wills creation come, and we have a God who is able to see to it that creation does indeed come. He actually gets what he wants. And when he does, he assesses his work, and each time he stands back and he says, this is good. It's just how our God dreamed it would be. Now, we've tasted just a little bit of this joy of creating, and that's because we are a people made in the image of God. We'll get more to that point in just a moment, but some of you in this place especially have this incredible gift of working with your hands. People like Harlan. We sit under this beautiful cross week after week. He made it with his own hands. You've got folks like Carrie who made that beautiful sign when you walk in the door of our new church's logo right there for all to see. We've got Kayleen who toils in the hallway of the children's wing painting that beautiful mural down the path. Danielle who made these for this very sermon series with her own hands. And those of you who have this gift of creating, I have a hunch that when you do it, you prefer mostly to create behind closed doors, kind of in the dark, away from the public, not out there for all to see and critique and tell you what's on their mind before it's done. You have this dream in your mind of how your project should go, and you kind of hide away in a quiet place to work on it until it comes as close to that dream as it can be. And once you put that final touch on it, once you kind of wipe away all the impurities, you take a step back. And with a project that comes out successfully, does not a smile of satisfaction cross your face? And don't you say to yourself, it is well. This is good. Very good. This joy of dreaming and creating in secret and revealing with a joyful heart what we've created to share with others is a direct reflection of our Creator God. Toiling in the evening, dreaming, speaking, executing, assessing His work. When we create, we connect with our Creator in this uniquely intimate sort of way. If you don't believe it, ask the artist among us, and they can tell us it is so. So already in just these first verses of Genesis, we have this strong picture of who our Creator is. We know right off the bat that we serve a God who is powerful over all. He's over and above everything. A God who was when nothing else was. When all around us was but a formless void. We can't even picture that because it's nothing to picture. When everything was a formless void, God was fully alive. God was fully God. He created everything from nothing, just as He wanted and dreamed for it to be. And everything came to life simply because our God told it to. His words. It's amazing. My words. They don't even make my dog do what I want and dream for her to do. Much less do my words make something as small as a tack appear in my hand because I say tack appear in my hand. Nothing happens. But our God speaks and it happens because our God is indeed Lord of all. Genesis leaves no mystery about it. And you know, sometimes we forget just how powerful our God is. Sometimes we're hit with hard times, and we find ourselves looking at dwindling bank accounts or facing daunting diagnoses, find ourselves getting stuck in unhealthy relationships, and deep in our gut, we just kind of have this sense that there's not a whole lot that God can do about it. We just kind of tell ourselves, you know, the cards have been dealt, the scans have been read, the harsh words have been spoken, there's no going back, what's done is done. And God is just kind of out of the loop on this one for some reason. But you know, guys, there's got to be something to the fact that our entire story starts with this story of a God who created the Pacific Ocean by simply saying a word. Our entire story begins with the story of a God who spoke into being planets and galaxies. And on our planet, who spoke into being air and water and mammals and reptiles, even crazy things like platypuses or pie, however you say that, and giraffes. If you don't think our God is creative and powerful, look at one of those for a little while. It's amazing. We have a God who spoke humankind into being. With just a word, there we were. Brains and hearts and eyes and ears, even souls and spirits. We don't even understand what souls and spirits are half the time, and yet God created them with just a word. Just as we sang, the very one who puts breath in our lungs, even now, surely He is never outdone by those circumstances that get us so worried. Nothing for Him. He spoke the universe into being, for crying out loud. What is my kind of low bank account to that kind of a God? Nothing. The one who made all of this world can surely fix all of this mess just as easily as He made it. And if He doesn't fix it today, it's certainly not because He can't. It must be because there's more to the story. And we just forget sometimes how uniquely powerful is our Creator God. Along with His great power, We see something in these very first verses about his unique will, and the two have to go together to get a complete picture of exactly what he's about. You see, God doesn't just create to gloat in his power because he wants some place to be king of all he already was. But he creates because his greatest desire is for relationship. His greatest desire is not to gloat in his power, but is to share his beauty and his glory with the universe and with all that fills it. Though God created on his own, he didn't for a moment keep creation to himself. He created in order to share. To share the gift of sunlight with the plants. To share the gift of water with the fish. The gift of mountains with the mountain goats. The gift of trees with the birds. The gift of life and the gift of beauty. To share the gift of love with us. It's absolutely astounding when you stop for just a moment to take that in. The God of the universe, the creator of all, what in the world does he do wanting anything to do with you and with me? Wanting to share his beauty and his goodness with us. Yes, this is our creation story, and it tells of a very unique creator, no doubt about that. And just as we're getting to know the God at the center of this story, we find that there's also a unique creation that stands apart from all the rest. You see there in verse 27, that pattern that carried the first 5 days of creation, it's interrupted. In one verse, three times in one verse, that's redundant. We are told God created humankind from a different dream. From a different kind of template. He created humankind in his image. It says God blesses humankind just as he blessed the animals in verse 22. But notice there's this one small but very significant difference in the blessing. God blessed the animals by speaking this blessing over them. To the animals, he said, over them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But God blesses the humans in verse 28 by speaking to them. Of all the creatures in Genesis 1, God speaks directly only to humans. This is important. This sets this unique creature apart by this ability it has to enter into this unparalleled, intimate relationship with the creator of all. A relationship. And all these years later, however many they are, that uniqueness hasn't changed. This unique creation, humankind, made in the image of the Creator God, what does that mean? Being an intimate relationship is surely a huge part of it. Gives us a little bit more there in verse 26. God says, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the birds and the cattle, over the wild animals and every creeping thing." Dominion. Let them have dominion. It's often a misinterpreted word, one that gets misused left and right. But this idea of dominion coming from God, it must denote some kind of unique power and responsibility given to humans from God. And this dominion somehow is directly tied to being made in the image of God. If we have dominion as a people made in the image of God, then we must be called to engage creation in a way that actually reflects the heart of our God. And thus far in Genesis, all we know about God is that he has a heart that is to share his power for life of all creation, and to share his joy so that all may see and know what is good. And so the dominion that humans possess, it should look a little something like a shepherd who cares for, feeds, tends to the animals. Dominion. It should look like one who looks after the well-being of all creatures. And so that all may live, not the one who demands that he stand over and above the creatures, but one who enters into their lives so that he may share life for all. Dominion. if it's the part of us that's to reflect the image of God, it can be nothing that is coercive, nothing that can be arrogant, nothing that can be indifferent. Dominion doesn't demand that I get my best life now, regardless of how it affects the world and life around me. We see it lived out that way, and that's not what it means. That's a complete perversion of the word. Dominion. It means that I get to let go of my power and step into the lives of those below me and see to it that they live too. Because that's what God did, and that's what God does. And we were blessed to be made in His image. And you know, God's not dumb. God knew when He created us in His image and gave us dominion that things could go badly. He knew that we could choose to grasp for power and control. He knew that we might destroy rather than create. He knew that we might be self-serving more than we were compassionate and kind. And yet He chose to give us the blessing anyway. Because God gave us freedom to choose His way or not, to reveal His image within us and all we say and all we do or not. He gave us the choice. He prized relationship, freedom, over ultimate control. He knew it could go badly. He knew we could choose a different way. But only one way did He determine was good. And that was the way of true dominion, of using this unique status we have on this earth to actually bless others, be it people, animals, plants, things. The power to bless, never grasping after power and blessing for ourselves. That's the way He said is unique and very, very good. May we choose that way. And finally then, God creates male and female, if you notice, side by side. And together, humankind reflects the image of God. Notice from the very beginning of all things, only in community do we fully live. Because only in community do we fully know what it is to know and be known, and to love and be loved. I know you've heard me preach this before, and I bet I'm going to preach it again and again and again, because this truth is central to our entire story, and that's the truth that we were created for, and we need one another. My friends, rugged individualism has no place in the story of God and His people. That's an American thing, not a God thing. If anyone had reason to avoid community at all costs, it was God, because things were going just fine in His world without us. We're the ones who messed it up, not Him. But God chose to create and enter into community with us anyway, because God values relationship, and made in His image, so must we. Some of you say, and I've heard it and it's fair, but I hear you say, I just don't like people. They're annoying. People are not to be trusted. I can get a lot more done alone, and I can do it in peace. I prefer that way. And I hear you. But my friends, sorry to say, that's just not going to work here on this earth as the people of God. It's just not. Because from the very beginning, our God doesn't care so much about how much we get done, because He can do a lot by Himself. He cares a whole lot more about who we reflect while we're getting things done. Do we look like Him or not? We can't look like Him unless we are in community. We only reflect Him when love is the core of who we are, and we only love when there are others to love. In the beginning, there was a unique Creator God who created not because He wanted something to show off His power, but because He wanted a place to share His life and His love beyond Himself. And in the beginning, this unique Creator God made everything. But he made one thing especially unique. That is humankind. He made us to share his love of relationship with him in a way nothing else would. And he made us to share his love of relationship with others in a way no other part of creation could. And in the beginning, God said, "Let there be, may there be," choosing from the beginning the way of freedom and not coercion, knowing from the beginning that real relationship comes from love, and real love comes from choice. In the beginning, this unique creation, humankind, chose to hear and obey and fully trust this unique creator, just as much as the unique creator was choosing to see and love and fully trust the creation. And in that perfect, unhindered trust, that's when our God took a step back, looked at all he had spoken into being, and said, "Yes, yes, this will do. This is just what I need to share my life and my love with all. This is my dream. This right here. This is good. This is very, very good." It's the beginning of our story, my friends. And it's absolutely beautiful. Everything about it is good. So very, very good. And you know what the good news is today? The good news. That unique creator God, powerful over all, yet choosing to enter into our lives and share his love and his life with us, he hasn't changed a bit. And the good news? That unique creation still bears his unique image. And if that be so, there is still hope of coming to the end of a day or a season or a lifetime and taking a step back and saying, "This life I live with my God and with others is good." It is very, very good. How do we get there, you ask? The story is going to tell. Stick around. We're going to get there. Would you pray with me? Oh, good Creator God, powerful over all, and yet as we lift up our hearts and voices in prayer to you right now, you hear us. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your love for life outside of yourself, and letting us be a part of your story. The fact that you know our names, that you know the numbers of hair on our head, that you know the deepest parts of our hearts, the things that bring us shame and pain and gladness and fear and rejoicing, you know them better than we do, and you care. Wow. Thank you. Father God, help us trust you more. Help us be a people who live out this original intention to be in intimate, deep relationship with you, in conversation with you, and to share your dominion in this earth, that is caring for life and caring for life well. Help us do that with your help, O God, better and better each day. Father, we are amazed and humbled by you, by your creativity, by your beauty, and by your grace. Keep us humbled. Keep us amazed, we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.